If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny. The voice of Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the rapture, our restoration to right-mindedness. The word rapture first appears in one of the earliest scriptural translations known as the Vulgate in Latin, and there it is translated as harpazo, which means to be snatched suddenly. And it refers to the quantum shift. So we'll be looking at that tonight, and we will begin with a little attunement. So tonight we're going to do a very simple one, and this is simply using the breath to bring instant attunement and centering. So as you take your breath, take it very consciously, very deeply, with the full intention of complete attunement with your highest divine principles. Deep breath. And as that energy follows thought, and intention is indeed the God force within you, you are in perfect attunement, completely aligned. And we ask in this sacred space that which is the portion for tonight's transmission be fully received. And in gratitude, we also are appreciative that our right-mindedness is indeed restored as it is brought to our awareness tonight. And indeed, we become aware of what has already been done within our consciousness in terms of our ascension into the fifth dimensional version of this earth and the higher heavens. That will be the place that the majority of people move to, with gradations of higher ascension programmings open to those souls who are more advanced and more experienced and who perhaps have already ascended in previous cycles and upon previous world systems. They will be going to a higher level of ascension. But all of humanity that is able to now resonate at a higher level will be advancing to, at least minimally, the fifth dimension. There will be a few that will not be able to sustain, and they will be relocated to another version of the earth, another dimension more in keeping with their vibrational comfort, let's say. But we're speaking now of those souls that are of the graduating classes, the advancing life waves. So, to begin with, when you were a little kid, I know this must have happened to you, it happened to all of us. Do you remember when you fell asleep, maybe in your parents' bed with your clothes on? Maybe you were having a cuddle or watching TV, or maybe you fell asleep on the couch, or maybe at a neighbor's house. And while you were asleep, your parents or someone that was taking care of you picked you up and carried you home and tucked you into your little bed, maybe with your clothes on, just taking your shoes off. Did that ever happen to you? And then you wake up in the morning and, wow, you're in your own bed. How did you get there? Well, you know, the ascension process for many people is going to be very much like that. very much like that. They're going to simply be placed in a state of quiescency, a non-cognitive state that rests the consciousness so it doesn't go into any kind of freak out or trauma. And then the translocation to a new vibratory field. Kind of like when you change the water in your aquarium, you're very careful to take the fish out and put them in a separate container and then to replace them back in the fresh water. We're being replaced into the fresh water of higher consciousness in a binary sun system, which for the first time enables the Earth to have interchange with more advanced civilizations. So the Earth, as it moves into this new placement within the new heavens, will have an access for the first time to the neighbors of other worlds that are on an appropriate vibratory frequency that would constitute relational reciprocation between our races. And that's what happens when a planet is moved from being a population one density planet, which our planet has been, which means it's been in quarantine, kind of kept within its own little karmic soup. And now the barriers will be removed, the quarantine will be removed, and the Earth will be able to open its galactic eyes and say, oh, there are others out there. And we will be able to have exchange with these higher beings. And from 1992 until 2012, that has been the projected, through many different systems, the projected bridging cycle through which the ascension frequencies were set in place and enabled humanity that was already at the threshold to be advanced into a collective ascension consciousness. And the enormity of this, I think, is beyond the human mind to grasp. It's so vast. And our inability to do anything about any of this is so enormous as well that I'd like to point out some of the things that have been done for us. And when I'm speaking of us right now, I'm not speaking so much of from the command as I'm speaking from being in an Earth body along with the rest of us and going through this change along with you. Because I'm in an Earth body now. What was I thinking? But I'm glad because I'm here with the rest of our ground crew and able to go through this process with you. So, many of our mission assignments actually came online for a lot of us, if not before, at least by 1992. Some 1987, 88, and coinciding more with the harmonic convergence, which occurred August 16th, 17th of 1987, I believe. And during that period of time, the light workers were all, without exception, contacted, activated, decoded. The encoded missions activated and began to manifest. And every single one of us were taken up into the higher levels aboard ship and were worked on. I can hear somebody out there saying, well, what about those of us that were born, you know, since, you know, some of the younger kids? They came in already at the place that we now have been advanced to. In fact, they came in already with the future codes in place, and they don't even fit in the old paradigm. So those of you that have young kids, try the very best you can not to indoctrinate them with old thought systems that would be religious and social and scientific. If you can homeschool them, great, go for it. Or place them in a very progressive Montessori school or a Waldorf school if you can afford it. But try to keep them out of the public school systems because they are vibrating at a totally different level. And the less they have to have their minds infected with ego-based systems, materialistic systems, the better. So many of these children are indeed extremely advanced. Some of them are galactic lords and ladies and high-placed diplomats from the councils of light. Some of them are masters, and some of them are even Christed souls. So give them a break and let them find their own stride without trying to fill their heads with a lot of indoctrination. So some of the things that have taken place with all of us that I want to bring to your attention. Number one, the ECOR codes were activated. Now, these enable us to adapt from the blood circuitry system of the human body to a higher non-blood evolutionary process. And the physical body is calibrated so that it can co-respond or dove into the matrix of the light body. In other words, it's homogenizing the old way with the new so that we can manifest the higher bodies of light. So that was done with me in an interesting way. They actually, I was conscious when they did it. And I didn't know what they were doing when they did it. They told me later. They were replacing almost like an injection into my blood, into my cerebral spinal fluid, codes, which they said would assist in that process that I just mentioned. Although at the time it looked like they were replacing crystalline codes into my physical blood, changing the blood itself to a higher encoded crystalline formation. And it was painless, and it was very interesting and very odd. But anyway, and the second thing that has been activated is what's called the Urim and Thummim, which are a crystalline grid communication system wherein sacred crystals vibrate in harmonics of light and sound and replicate themselves in sacred geometric configurations. And this is how the higher communication takes place on those levels that we don't even really have a way to mention now, other than the communication is totally different from anything that we have known, utilizing the human brain and the human mental body. And here's what's so absolutely precious and sweet. Those of us that have not, for example, perhaps quite gotten up to pace or up to snuff to be able to move into that higher, minimally, the Christ over self, the office of the Christ has actually been enabling a mantling of this higher consciousness to be gifted, as it were. It's like you're being given a wedding garment. Been gifted to those who are a little bit sluggish and integrating the higher consciousness. How precious is that? So, the the grace that has been extended to humanity, the love, the care, the beauty of which this whole program, this massive program of transdimensional relocation, where the third density is being rewoven and rearticulated within the fourth and transitioning into the fifth dimensional Earth, is just awesome. So during this time, our DNA was also repaired. And that which had been removed by the Nephilim was restored to our pre-tampered with status. So now we have 12 strands of DNA once again. So now, these last couple of years, the finishing touches are being fine-tuned so that we can be gathered as a garment of light, as a collective membrane of consciousness, and delivered into the state of being that we've come to call the new earth, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. I mean, there's so many metaphors, or simply the shift of the ages into this new area of the cosmos and consciousness. And get this, all of this happened while we bumbled our way through our daily lives, and in most cases, we're fairly oblivious to what has been taking place. So, in the Ascension Program, as you probably are aware of, at least you've been reminded, that when you actually go through certain processes is when the knowledge of how to operate in that quickens within you. It's like when you're born. You know automatically how to take your first breath, and where to nuzzle for the mother's breast and get your nourishment. The same thing when you pass out of the body in death. You know instinctively to go to the light. There's just certain things that come with the territory. So you don't have to be concerned about, well, what do I do? And, you know, as I was meditating on this show tonight, thinking what I might want to share with you, they reminded me to tell you that you didn't have a clue how to operate your high-tech computer when it was first gifted to you, or you first brought it home and took it out of the box. You had to go to the tutorials, or you had to have a friend come over and show you how to get online. You had to get on the telephone, whatever. Talk to somebody in Bombay to find out how to operate your computer in America, right? But anyway, the point I'm making is that you didn't know how to operate your computer. You didn't know how to drive your car. All of these things that you do now without even thinking took time to get to know how the system operates. In fact, I recently joined Twitter, and most of us don't even know how to tweet on Twitter. So you have to learn all of these new things, and it comes by getting involved with it and seeing how it works. You know, you get in your new car, and you push this, and you pull that, and what does this do, and what does that do? And when you get on your new computer, you click all the different things, and you find out all the things that the clicks produce. Same thing with operating in your new higher equipment. Have fun with it. You know, get out of the box, push the envelope, and begin to explore and see what all you've got there to work with. I think you'll be so delighted. Now, I don't know if I ever told you how I came into doing the Ascension work myself. I don't think I have. Let me tell you, this happened to me. I was living in West Los Angeles, and I think the year was around 1982. It could have been a little bit later, but I think it was around 82. And I heard a knock on my door, and I go to the door, and there was this total stranger standing there, and he said, "I am Light Traveler." Well, that's a really good introduction. I got my interest instantly. And I said, "Oh, okay, well, come on in." And he said, "I have come with a gift for you." And I said, "Well, who are you? And how in the world did you find me?" And he said, we always know where our people are. And I was led by the light to you. I am light traveler. So with that, he handed me a big, thick manuscript. And on the cover of the manuscript, it said, The Ascension Handbook by Tony Stubbs. I'm not sure if the book was published at that point or not, or if it had been published and went out of print, because later I was instrumental in getting the book published by Light Technology in Sedona, because it was the best book I have ever read on Ascension. And anyway, he ended up staying 3 days with me, in which we talked nonstop. I don't remember us coming up for air or eating or anything. It was so intense. And he was sent by the hierarchy, or by the light beam, as he called it, to different people who were part of the next stage of the training program on Earth and the evolution. Now, bear in mind, that's before I came into my present consciousness, which occurred in 91. So I was a being by the name of Saivani Sharma Singh. And, Indian name. And I was just starting to think a little bit about Ascension, but not much. I mean, there wasn't much out there. I remember watching some of the Ramtha videos and reading Ramtha's Big White Book and getting kind of interested in it, but didn't really know much about it. So at some point I said, well, am I qualified to teach Ascension? And he said, I wouldn't be here if you weren't. That's what you're supposed to do. And then he told me I was a walk-in, which totally freaked me out because I thought that was such a violation of consciousness. I didn't want to be somebody else. I wanted to be myself. But I had had a dramatic change of consciousness a few years earlier, and that was the first of a series of three future self overlay walk-in integrations that I've had in this body-mind complex. So that freaked me out. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, because I'm a walk-in and we know our own. So anyway, one day he just got up and vanished, just left. And I never heard from him again, never saw him again. I really wonder if he just kind of materialized out of the ethers and then just kind of went back to the light. But that's how I came into this work, doing the Ashtar Command Ascension Activational Workshops. I've been working with the Ashtar Command since the early 60s. But this was where I started the facet of the work that had to do with Ascension. And shortly thereafter, a friend of mine knocked on the door that I know and said, how would you like to do some activational journeys for the Ashtar Command with me? And I said, ah, you said the magic word. Of course, I would love to. So that's how we started doing this particular aspect of the mission. And we did that for several years. And then we went down to the Yucatan with Hun Botsman, the Mayan elder, for the spring equinox. And I'm trying to think what year that was. I think 87, 88, somewhere in there. And there were 50 just extraordinary people, Hosea Coelis and his wife, Lloydine, and everybody was involved with anything that had to do with anything regarding the shift and the ascension. And everybody on that trip was part of that process. And I took Cherula from Telos and Shield, who later became her husband. And we went as a group, and then other commanders and people that I was affiliated with. We all went down there, and we opened the ancient initiatic centers in Maya land, in the Yucatan, in Palenque, and these incredible Melchizedek complexes. When I was standing there in Palenque, I saw the whole area transform into this beautiful Melchizedek Academy with the ships going and coming and great masters teaching and these beautiful, beautiful garden-like temples. And of course, only a fraction of the Yucatan is actually excavated because it's very expensive for one thing. And the jungle growth almost immediately takes over if you don't have someone to maintain the, keep it cut back. So anyway, this was the early years when we could bring in, all the ceremonial paraphernalia. I remember there were Mayan dancers, and Hun Botsman had this incredible Mayan outfit on. And, oh, it was just the most splendid experience you would ever want to have. And very, very sacred. So there was an ancient prophecy that at that time, a group of priests and priestesses from North America would travel to Maya land and would open these ancient initiatic centers. So I was very happy to be part of that process of dancing the collective dream awake. Jose Aguilas in his wonderful book, The Mayan Factor, said that at the time of the harmonic convergence, 144,000 rainbow dancers would awaken and dance the collective dream awake. And I really, really resonated with that. And I think many of you that listen to the show have as well. So that started, kind of gave us a jump start for many of us who began to do our missions at that point. I remember Lisa Royal, who's written so many wonderful extraterrestrial books, was the secretary at the Bodhi Tree. And she was called into her work in 1988. And another dear friend, Patty Cota Robles, I think at about that time, also started her wonderful work that she does with the Ascension. And just different people that I know that started, coming online with extraordinary work. And my friend Joanna Cherry, who I think was the pioneer, the first one that was actually out there teaching Ascension. And then my friend Eric Klein, he began to teach from the Ashtar Command's direction, the Ascension process. And then I came online. So there weren't too many of us in those early days that was teaching Ascension. And everything that I was taught, I was taught by the Ashtar Command. I didn't study any of the IM materials or anything like that. In fact, my own background and training was through the Alice Bailey Theosophical kind of approach, and was very anti anything like that. It was very practical, very grounded. So I didn't have any exposure to kind of the New Age concepts of Ascension. So the things I share are largely things that I have seen aboard ship or have been guided by Ashtar to share or have actually experienced myself in the process of working with people for Ascension. I remember in the early years when we were doing, I was traveling around the country doing workshops, Ascension workshops. A large amount of them on the East Coast and around the Great Lakes area. And I remember one time Ashtar came through and he said, what do these people believe about Ascension? And he used to come and ask me, after a workshop, he said, did the people understand? What did they get? What did they understand? What do you think we need to do to help them understand the process of Ascension? And so, like that, we would sit and talk after a workshop, and we would try different approaches. And for a long time, I couldn't think of a teaching or something I could share with people that would kind of lead them in a direction that was very familiar to me from the ships, but very foreign in terms of the people's understanding that I was encountering. So I finally found the Course in Miracles, actually, that came about through sharing a house with Dr. David Hawkins. My husband and I shared a home with his home when we first moved to Sedona, and he became a good friend. And through him, he got us going with the Course in Miracles. And as soon as I started studying that, I was like, oh, well, that's the way we live and think and believe aboard ship. This is like really familiar to me. So then I've used the Course in Miracles very much as a basis to share many of the principles, which will be the guiding factors as we live in the fifth dimension. You have to have some sort of a codex for behavior. The codex for behavior in the paradigm of the Piscean Age was the Judeo-Christian Bible. That was the codex manual, the operational manual for Adamic man on planet Earth. And that has served us really well. Now we're taking it up a notch with the Keys of Enoch with Dr. J.J. Hertak, who has been given through Afanim Enoch the job of translating the Judeo-Christian scriptures, particularly that pertaining to the ascension and the rapture and the translocation of consciousness in scientific terms, and also reintroducing to humanity some things that were actually taken out of the Bibles, out of the scriptures, due to the fear of the ancient Hebrews to say the name of God. They were so afraid of offending God by using his name in vain that they began to, you know, sometimes you'll see people write G-D. They won't write G-O-D. So that's still very much predominant in their thinking today. But when you don't understand the different orders of angels and masters and the councils of light and all of these myriad members of the hierarchical outreach to the ascension program, you lose a sense of the facilitation that takes place. And then you get a very limited understanding of how the whole thing fits together. And then you get people who believe there's only one way to God, and, you know, that's it. And they become dogmatic and closed into a very limited belief system that positions itself against everyone else, which is totally counterproductive to what the Office of the Christ and the Master Jesus Christ had intended in the first place. So when you understand that the order of Melchizedek is intergalactic, multidimensional, multi-layered, it's everywhere, and it is the group of masters that we call spiritual travelers that have the actual keys to consciousness, transformation from one-dimensional threshold to the next. They're the ones that know all of that. Our brother and my very, very precious friend, Drumvalo Melchizedek, is actually a Melchizedek that walked into the body with full knowledge of all those thresholds, all the way down into his human embodiment, incredible consciousness. And he came forward to teach the Merkaba, because mankind was very left-brained. They couldn't understand the way of the heart, which he teaches now. But in the early years, they had to be taught the Merkaba, because they needed to be worked with in a way that was gave them something, you know, busy work to do. In fact, we did a workshop on the Merkaba, oh gosh, way back. I guess this must have been in 88, maybe 89. And we called it Resurrection 2000, and we did a lot of the Merkaba work at that time. I was teaching it with another man, Bodhi McCoy, that had studied extensively with Drumvalo. So we were trying a lot of different approaches to see what would work with humanity. And this is something that's important for people to realize, is that we didn't know what was going to work for humanity. Nobody. None of the masters in the hierarchy knew how it was really going to work, if it was going to really fly. Everything was guess and begora, and try this and try that. I mean, you know, Ashtar coming and asking me, you know, what do they understand about ascension? Are they grasping the concepts? Do they believe in it? Because, you know, one of the first things I said, Ashtar, they don't they don't really believe any of this. They're just bored. Their lives are boring. They're tired of, you know, eking out a existence and not having anything really exciting. And so they come to these workshops kind of for distraction, I think. That was my appraisal in the early years. And he said, oh, my heavens, that's awful. What can we do about that? And I said, well, we'll find a way. We'll find a way. And so now it's gotten so it's very, very relational. It's very, you know, let me digress one second here. I was struck by a tweet on Twitter by a pastor the other night, and he said, why don't people go to church? And I was just going to, you know, put my tweet on and just go about my way, and but this bothered me. So later on, I went back online, and I tweeted back to him. I said, well, for more ripened souls, many times they find in these churches the blind leading the blind. And then I continued the tweet, and I said, today people want experience, not just books read to them or book and head knowledge. And I went on to tweet, very few people, very few pastors who are leading people in churches have any direct personal spiritual experience of God. And, you know, that's true, but in all fairness, I have met many enlightened pastors who do very much have direct experience with God. So that isn't across the board. You'll find enlightened people and light workers and Ashtar Command members everywhere, you know, everywhere, in the churches, in the synagogues, in the gurudwaras, in the Hindu mandirs, everywhere you will find them, in the masjids. But, and again, to be fair, judging from the way Joel Osteen and Victoria packed out the Wrigley Stadium recently, they had this Night of Hope. They packed this place out with 20,000 people. And actually, I think it was more than 20,000, but their church itself in Houston, is it Houston or San Antonio? Houston, I think. Their mega church every Sunday pulls in like 20,000. So I don't know how many they had at Wrigley. But it was packed to the gills. And then after 3 hours, people didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay in that atmosphere. So why? You know, what's with Joel Osteen? Why do we all love to watch him? Well, for one thing, because he's constantly telling you what you can do and what you have. And we all know what we can't do and what we don't have, but who is out there telling us, you have this and you can do this? And I think that's why we love Joel. Everything that comes out of his mouth builds you up and makes you feel better about your abilities as a child of God, as a son of God, as a divine embodiment, which he doesn't go there yet, but, you know, some do. Suzanne Hinn, Benny Hinn's wife, I remember one time, she's standing on the stage and she's saying, the anointing is in you. It's inside you. It doesn't come from outside. It comes up from within you. It's the anointing that heals. It's the anointing that gives you the power. It's the anointing. And she was so empowered and so animated. So there are enlightened people out there in the churches and in the Christian, more of the, I wouldn't call them exactly fundamental. They're more charismatic. But there are people out there that have had direct experience. But as a general rule, we want to have experiences. And churches and methods and messages must change with the times to meet people's needs in a relevant manner. And again, people want to experience for themselves. So, you know, it was interesting because we are we are the generation that's watching the dismantling, the total disillusion of the old systems. I mean, it's falling everywhere you look, crumbling. And we're watching the old entrenched belief systems trying to reinsert themselves and just being washed over by the impetus of humanity to step free into something new. Almost a desperation to rush for the exit. It's like, ah, we got to have something new, something new. So that is the good news, is that we are moving into that something new right now, right now. And the probably more than anything, we can know that there's new ways of understanding things that before were languaged in perhaps Christianese or religious terms that now can be explained in a little different way. And I was looking at the rapture today in terms of what it might mean in the higher consciousness. And this is from the first chapter of Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So, first of all, the Christ is not a religion. It is not even a way. It is not even a path. It is not even a person. It is the anointed higher consciousness. So what they're telling us is that there's going to be a shift of the sound wave frequencies. Everything in creation begins with the word. It's always the word. God spoke, then something happens. So we're going to have the voice of Christ, the higher consciousness, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, will issue forth a trumpet, divine trumpeting call, which will shift the grids, and then the dead in Christ, in other words, those souls who were in the anointed state, will be reestablished from the bardos of the lower consciousness realms and the lower planetary systems where they, quote, sleep. And they will be reestablished into the higher grid field first. And then those that are still in physical bodies will be gathered with them in the higher consciousness, it says in the clouds, so we can assume that there will be interactions with the Merkabic ionized fields of the higher lords of light at the same time, working together to lift souls into the higher consciousness that we call the Christ, or meeting the Lord in the air. And that says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Now, Jesus, before he left his apostles, he said, and this is just the Last Supper before he went to be crucified and resurrected later. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So, and the whole metaphors of them being led to the upper room where the Pentecostal fires came upon them and their higher light bodies were activated at the Pentecost, which was 50 days after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, where they had to follow the water bearer, the male water bearer, which is a symbol for the Aquarian age, to the upper room, the higher consciousness, where they were anointed and filled with the power of the Hayos HaKadosh, the Ruach HaKadosh, the breath of the living God. They were filled with that holy breath and transformed from that point on, from being rather wimpy, scared of their own shadow, afraid to stand on their own truth kind of guys and gals, to being outrageously bodacious in proclaiming the higher teachings that Jesus had left with them. So there was a tremendous shift of consciousness. And if you look at these stories in the book of Acts, in the Judeo-Christian scripture, and begin to see them from the higher consciousness in terms of grid shifts and energy fields and overlays of consciousness and translocations and the actual provision that is made for people, the accommodation and the provision, it's very, very hopeful. And you can do the same thing with the seemingly dire predictions in Revelation. I mean, there's a higher consciousness paradigm that is appearing through, and that's why Dr. Hertak was given the job to translate these things in the Keys of Enoch, his wonderful magnum opus, the Keys of Enoch, and also his marvelous book, the Pista Sophia. It took him 15 years to do the research to decode it in a similar way that he did with the Keys of Enoch. Now, that is the teachings that Jesus gave to the archons and the principalities of the lower heavens that he had to deliver in his light body, in his resurrected whole enchilada divine manifestation. He couldn't deliver it from the earth envelope. He had to actually be wearing these garments of higher consciousness to address these orders of beings. And also to set in place a new paradigm overlays, which was his job, to empty the lower hell world, to prepare a place, just like he said he was going to do. He had to prepare that dimensional, those dimensional levels, in concert, of course, with the whole office of the Christ, the whole office, order of Melchizedek, and the many, many orders, which, so far as I know, are only mentioned in the Keys of Enoch. If you're going to the Judeo-Christian scriptures, I don't know any other apocryphal book that goes into the orders of angels and their specific names and their specific functions. So this is so important to understand that we have a vast system that is facilitating this massive change of consciousness that involves myriads of systems and hierarchies, or myriads of solar worlds and planetary worlds and higher consciousness civilizations that have evolved so far beyond where Earthman is today, that is like an ant regarding, you know, the Himalayas. But be that as it may, there's a stepping down and a continuity of open-ended expansion into these higher orders, which all fit together and nest like those, you know, those little Russian babushka dolls that sit, little wooden dolls that sit one into the next. They just dome over, and they're called oversoul layers or oversoul layers that connect you with lines of energy, lines of communication, the Uman and the Serum, the higher crystalline grid fields and the Ichor codes that enable you to be able to access these higher resonant fields of communication and understanding. And then the understanding just comes down upon you like it fell upon the 120 in the upper room at the time of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit just set on fire those crown chakras and activated those higher bodies of light and those higher light codes. And at that time, too, they heard a sound. There was a sound at that point like a rushing wind, which is the sound from a Nami dash, you know, the higher divine realms. That's the like that, you know, this kind of wind sound that the sun current takes. And And that's what fell upon the apostles. And that was a sixth density infilling, because they had to move into the ascended states to prepare the place for the fifth density to move into. So you always have your upline. So some of those masters that were in the group of apostles are now the ascended masters that we look to that are helping to facilitate the progress that we're going through now. Peter, for example, is now the Master M, or the Master Moria. Kutumi's the Master was John the Beloved. Paul is the Master Hilarion. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, was the Master Saint Germain. The Master who was Mother Mary is now, she's not in incarnation, but she will be one of the first walking out in your face female masters in the times to come. So all of these beings have expanded into what is now called that group of ascended masters that's working with humanity for this ascension program. You see how it all fits? And likewise, many of you may have had incarnations at the time of the Master Jesus. In fact, those of us that are really fond of him undoubtedly were. But the family of light incarnates from age to age with all of these great emissaries of light. So it's safe to say that the goodly family, as George Hunt Williamson languaged it in his wonderful book, Road in the Sky, in the Secret Places of the Lion. If you can get a hold of those two books by George Hunt Williamson, those are treasures. And if you can get Other Tongues, Other Flesh by him, you've got the best UFO book ever. Other Tongues, Other Flesh, George Hunt Williamson. Anyway, he was saying that the goodly company, which is the light field, the family of light, incarnates with Buddha and Krishna and Rama and Sai Baba now, and Jesus and Zoroaster and Muhammad and all the masters of light that have incarnated throughout time. Whenever the light is seeded into the earth, we come, and we're part of his family, we're part of his grunt team, his co-workers, and that's what we do. So if you have a hard time figuring out, oh, well, should I follow Buddha or Sai Baba or Krishna or Rama or John Roger or Jesus, or you know what? Just call them the Beloved, because they all work for one purpose, to reveal the love of God. They're all chalices of love. That's why I just like to call them the Beloved. But, you know, if they all teach the same thing, then where's the problem? You know, they all teach love. Love all, serve all. Bottom line, wake up, know that you're divine. Isn't that what they've all taught? More or less? Yeah. So, more or less, that's the gig, that's the message. And it's the same no matter who you look to. As I said before, there's one operational manual, and in some cultures it's called the Bhagavad Gita, in some cultures it's called the Quran, in some cultures it's called the Torah, in some cultures it's called the New Testament. But if you take away the personalized interpretations of people that haven't yet been bitten by the love bug, so to speak, those people who haven't really awakened the love within them, if you take that away, you'll find that the message is one. And the message is one of great love, great respect, great empathy, great compassion for all life forms. That's the real truth behind all the real scriptures of light. And they all come through that great chrysalis that we call, quote, the office of the Christ, or the brotherhood of the Lamb is another nice way to refer to it. The brotherhood of the Lamb, or the brother-sisterhood of light. And sometimes it's called the great white brotherhood. But I don't like to use the word white brotherhood, because all races are in the brotherhood we have. black masters and Chinese masters and Hindu masters and Caucasian masters and Heinz 57 variety masters and Native American masters. Forgive me if I've left anybody out, but everybody's in that melting pot, because that's the glory of the planet Earth, is that we are a many and one rainbow garment of light. And we, the family of light, have come to dance the dream awake and to celebrate the emergence of our peoples throughout this beautiful planet. And this beautiful planet itself, we are making sure that it's lifted impeccably into its higher placement in consciousness. That's why you came. That's why I came. That's why everybody and their dog is surrounding the earth now and cheering us on that we make this quantum leap. So don't get bogged down in what's happening on CNN and the outer world. That's just clearing karma stuff. Don't get involved in it. Keep your eyes on where you're going. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your mind in the light field. Keep yourself in the higher consciousness. And know that success has already occurred. We're just going to realize that at some point. So let's go out chanting. Anayu. Deep breath. Anayu. Anayu. In the light of your divinity, and know that truly all is well. God willing, I'll be speaking to you next week. Adonai.